With Donald Trump's son-in-law in line for a White House job, a moment about America's anti-nepotism law. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Donald Trump's son-in-law has been tapped to become a senior White House advisor. Jared Kushner will advise on trade and Middle East policy, among other things. To do this, Kushner plans to sell or put into cold storage many of his businesses. He's selling his stake in the family's big building on Fifth Avenue, along with his piece of an investment firm called Thrive Capital and his part of the New York Observer newspaper. All of Kushner's foreign holdings will go. These details were provided to the media by Kushner's lawyer, Jamie Gorelick, whom you may recall was deputy attorney general in the Clinton administration. So there are plans to resolve business conflicts, but the fact remains that Kushner is the husband of the next president's daughter, and there's a federal law against nepotism signed by President Johnson. It is argued in part as a jab at Robert F. Kennedy, who became U.S. Attorney General in large part because of his brother was president. Historian Joshua Zeitz is just finishing a book on the Johnson administration.
LBJ had nursed a kind of fiery hatred of Bobby Kennedy. And he wanted to prevent the Kennedys from ever again repeating the situation whereby John Kennedy appointed his younger brother to the post of attorney general or any sort of powerful post like that.
All right. So Lyndon Johnson signs this thing into law, but it's Congress that passes the anti-nepotism law. But it was driven by an attempt, right, to solve a problem.
It was a fairly common practice in those days for members of Congress, for instance, to put spouses, usually wives or adult children, on their payrolls. That was one of the abuses that this this act was meant to stop. And it was also meant to, stop more common abuses of public employment roles whereby government administrators would put family members on the payroll in different offices.
Federal law, but that law, did you see, may or may not have a loophole. When Bill and Hillary Clinton wanted Mrs. Clinton to guide health care policy reform back then, two federal judges agreed the anti-nepotism law doesn't apply to White House advisors, which sounds like Mr. Kushner's loophole right there.
That could be the loophole, or potentially he doesn't take a salary because some of the intent of the law was clearly to end that kind of nepotism that was, you know, squarely used to sort of absorb public funds. So he might very well have that loophole. I think there's clearly a distinction to be made between somebody who serves on a government advisory board, you know, Lyndon Johnson, for instance. Established dozens of advisory commissions that helped create Great Society legislation. That's probably closer to what Hillary Clinton did in 1993 than to, say, give Jared Kushner a formal role as a White House counselor or aide with a security clearance and to have him sit in on domestic and foreign policy meetings.
Historian Joshua Zeitz is a contributor to Politico. He's just finishing a book about Lyndon Johnson's Great Society programs. Mr. Zeitz, thank you for this.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
The troubled Canadian company Valeant Pharmaceuticals is selling three of its skincare brands to the cosmetics company L'Oreal of France for $1.3 billion. One of them, you know, CeraVe with a C, it's an effort by L'Oreal to expand in one of the fastest growing areas of the beauty industry, an effort by Valeant to reduce its $30 billion of debt. Now to the sneaker, the athletic shoe as an investment. Marketplace's Sally Herships reports.
Chris Burns used to be an English professor. Then in 2011, he opened his Amazon store selling limited edition sneakers.
From Black Friday in November to December 31st, I made $65,000.
Oh my God.
So I made twice my salary as an English professor in 1 month.
And that was it.
That was it. I walked into the dean's office and I said, hey, man, I'm done.
Prior to that, Burns had sold sneakers on the weekends and at flea markets. He also had his own shoe company and would wear his designs to class.
The students would be like, oh, Professor Burns, you fresh. And I'd be like, yeah, you know.
Another thing Burns knows is who's buying sneakers, and he says it's not kids. You develop your taste when you're a kid, but you can only afford them when you're an adult. Like Ray Islam. He's 29, grew up in Brooklyn, and the pennies he's wearing are the whitest, most sparkly clean sneakers you have ever seen. He says he buys for love, but also a little for money.
I save them for a rainy day is what I say. You know, some catastrophe happens or whatever, and, you know I got those, so if I sell those, I'll make, you know, $350 and I'll be fine, you know, so.
But he says there's another kind of sneaker investor out there.
Yes, there are other people where this is their primary source of income. I mean, for some people, this is a real investment for them.
To see that kind of investor in action, Islam and I head to Sneaker Pawn, a resale store on West 14th Street in New York. That's where we find Periante Biffle.
Did I see you with a bag?
Yeah, I can show you what's in the bag.
Yeah, let's see.
Sure.
Biffle buys and flips sneakers.
These are actually limited. They just came out about like 2 hours ago.
How did you get them so quickly?
That was like my day. I was there from sunup to sundown.
Waiting for those?
Waiting, yes.
The sneakers he has are Air Max Quarks. There are only 100 pairs, about $200 each. And they're already selling online for up to $800. Resellers can get a bad rep. But Ray Islam says it's hard to argue when you do the math. Take a pair of Yeezys, Kanye's sneaker line from Adidas. If you knew you could flip them and make a quick profit...
Who's not going to want to do that? Who's not going to want to spend a day in line and make $450? I could never hate on the hustle and hard work of somebody else.
While we're looking around, a teenager comes in. He wants to do a trade. 5 pairs of Jordans for 1 pair of Yeezys. The answer is no. But maybe he'll be able to afford a pair one day. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
I don't know about you, but I learned a lot in Sally's piece there. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.